back, ladies and gentlemen, to the third and final hour of this Monday edition of the Hagman Report. Our guest is Pastor David Langford from the Voice of Evangelism and Steve Quill from stevequill.com. Just before the break, Steve was talking about the increase in the deployment of sex bots and how some people are even preferring these robots as opposed to real people. And Steve made the point just before the break of how everything God had established and created, it is being the devil is turning that in those foundations of creation into the exact opposite of what they were intended to be used for. Everything from, you know, homosexual marriage to the assault on the genders and so much more. Steve, I want to let you pick up right where you left off.
Well, I think this is critical because, again, the thing is, and I maintain that, you know, the reason that people don't get it, and the reason why they don't really understand the depth of spiritual warfare or the glorious victory of the blood of Jesus Christ is because they don't understand one thing. If I were to tell you one word that has probably taken down more men or women of God, it would be the word sex. And what it was meant to be versus what it has become is a total different, and I would say perversion and diversion from God's original purpose. Now, in Genesis 6, it says this, Joe, this is the name of our film production, Gen 6 Productions. And it came to pass when, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, that and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives, all of which they chose. Now, I have, and let me just go through verse 4. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days will be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and after that, so before the flood and after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became the mighty men which are of old, men of renown. I've been at this for 45 years. I'm only saying this because you cannot find any place in the world, I haven't been able to, where you have any form of even oral tradition, written myths and legends that don't deal with this. The argument that these are the sons of Seth is a totally humanistic thing. Seth was a righteous man. God said everything after its likeness and kind. So the idea is this, that angels wanted to inject themselves, insert themselves, and that's a literal case. The sons of God argument, you can argue that, but when you're in the book of Job and Satan comes before the throne and the sons of God are in that heavenly thing, that's not talking about earthly position or earthly men ascending into the heavens. The point is that the sex, again, Satan's execution of the human race, when men get involved with sex bots, okay, when women get in bot and when they get in bed with the bots, the robots, I don't know what I'll call male robots yet, I better be careful, but the point is that there will be no procreation. And I won't go into, I'm going to wait until Branson, this isn't a teaser, because I want people to understand this, and I'm going to lay it out. Believe it or not, I've been working on my notes to stay focused, everyone, so, you know, it will be linear. Thank the Lord for intercessors. But the idea is this, that God is so in love with his original creation, that what we were meant to be when the Lord God of heaven walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day in the garden is something he wants his family back. And what I'm surprised at, David, is the people that claim to be, and claimants to claim to be Christians, don't understand the fatherhood, the heart of God, the wonderful heart of Jesus, the wonderful salvation. You know, and he said all manner of sin will be forgiven against the Father and the Son, but not against the Holy Ghost. I said that, Joe, on one of the Hagman episodes, and I got a call from, you know, a very famous Luciferian mouthpiece. And he says, I don't want to be forgiven. And this is what I think, and I will not even mention what he said. And I said, then you have your reward, and the hell that you admire will be your eternal torment. Well, you know, the point is that in Genesis 6, now we're seeing what will be, outside of the grace of God, the sexual extinction of the human race, and it will be Satan's extinction. Remember, SEX, extinction. And it's going on full bore, and the world's buying into it. And it's beyond the Stepford Wives. Stepford Wives is one of the first science fiction movies that promoted, you know, a happy a colony of people living in kind of a suburban setting where all the women were wives and they were perfect, and all the men seemingly to be, you know, lessers and dominators just loved it until things went haywire. Now they've had to shut down. Now I want to share something. I'm going to be dealing with AI, artificial intelligence, and I would say this, as if anybody who's building these things has any intelligence at all, and I know they're smarter than I am. That's not the thing. But if you're sitting with a bunch of compounds in a kitchen sink and you're dumping them all in a drain and you don't realize that C and D are going to blow the whole house up, you probably would like to know that before you start dumping this stuff down the drain. But humanity now is so deceived. And if Jesus' words aren't more real now than they ever were, that except God himself were to shorten the days, there'd be no flesh alive. And then let me share this. I stated years ago that you'll stand at a urinal if you're a male, sit in the stall if you're female, and they will absolutely have diagnostics and genetic testing. It goes even further. Imagine that they have a way, and listen, these guys are evil. These are supernatural entities to even instantly analyze DNA. I'm going to leave it at that because I don't want to get any further into that. But you can see that this is the end of the human race unless... Now, I know that God said, you know, that except the days be shortened, there be no flesh left alive. That's not talking about meat on the table. That's talking about two-legged meat. That's talking about us, because if we don't stand up and if we don't cry out for the brethren and our sisters that are losing their heads, that are being cannibalized, that are being eaten and sold in the market due to the policies of the entity that was in the slaughterhouse, now Donald Trump is regaining the land. There are men of God going through each room and praying over it and rebuking the spirits in it, and then we've got to stand up. And I'll tell you what, Pastor David, now I'm turning over to you before, you know, I go into space. The idea, if I see one more wimpy, you know, person whispering to me about Jesus, I mean, I'm going to say, Lord, you got to translate me on the spot before, you know, before I pour water on them. Because this is so sad. You cannot have anything. And this is why churches are being turned into mosques. This is by the Muslims are saying our women's wombs will be our victory. The Islamic birth rate, what, 8.9 births per however many thousand in the United States, because we've got birth control and gender confusion and everything else. Our birth rate now has fallen to the point where it can no longer contain itself. It can no longer reproduce itself. And with the xenoestrogens in water, remember, David, I talked about all the estrogens in the water and stuff? It's all here now, brother. So now we talk about Jesus. We talk about the Holy Ghost. We get people filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm believing for miracles in Branson, Missouri. I'm not talking about, you know, the kind where, give me $777, brothers and sisters, and I'll give you 777 miracles, you know, or God will multiply your blessing 7,700 times, you know. And I'm sorry, I am mocking that. That infuriates me to the point of saying it's all about the King of Glory. It is all about standing up for him. People said, well, that'll get me killed. I said, if you know, Derek Prince said one thing, David, and then it's yours. He said, the reason Islam will flourish, this is one of the last things he said before he died, you know, a number of years ago, decades ago, I guess, at least a decade ago, he said, the reason Islam will flourish is because they're willing to die for what they believe, and the Christians won't stand, let alone die, for what they believe. Go ahead, David.
That is so true, Steve. I want to go back just for a minute. You said something that kind of piqued my mind. Genesis 2 and 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of a man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Marriage, procreation, was God's original plan, and it's the first institution that God ordained was marriage. He ordained marriage in the very beginning. He ordained monogamy for a lifetime. It was in God's original plan. It's how God wills for it to be today. Jesus, of course, reemphasized that principle in the 19th chapter of Matthew. Number two, there was no shame before sin entered into the world. Only after Adam and Eve had sinned did they become self-conscious of their naked bodies. God has always intended for intimate sexual joy to be fulfilled only within the bonds of marriage, and there without shame. How do we know that? Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers will God judge. So everything in the confines of marriage is honorable. Anything outside of the confines of marriage is a sin, and God is going to judge it. And so God implemented this institution, and now it's gone from sodomy, and now we're into the sphere, sex bots, transgenderism. How about the Navy SEAL, Chris, who's now Kristen? You take enough hormones, if you're a woman, male hormones, you'll begin to take on those characteristics, or vice versa. If a woman takes on enough testosterone, she'll take on manly characteristics. Body hair, voice gets deeper, et cetera, et cetera. All of these are aberrations. All of these are anomalies. And because of synthetic drugs and things, man is able to try to create himself in his own image as he sees himself. Now the reason that is significant is because how in the world can you wake up one morning and I'm a man, I got hair on my chest, hair on my face. How do I look in the mirror and all of a sudden think, I'm a woman? Well, I believe it's disembodied spirits that have found a place of residence in these earthen clay jars called demon possession.
Amen.
There is something so abnormal about that. Or a woman looking in a mirror and all of a sudden she says, I'm a man. There's an influence that has come in, and that's those seducing spirits. See? Here's why you don't hear preachers preaching against sin. Because if you preach against sin, you have to preach against the doctrine of sin. And all of these things that Steve and I are talking about are doctrinal, but they're false doctrine. They're not true doctrine. They're heresy. They're fallacies. They're mendacities. And so if a true man of God stands up, he has to say, hey, that is sin. People all the time say, well, I'm going to stand for what's right. Well, here's the problem with that. When it comes to time to stand for what's right, the flip side of that is you've got to stand against what's wrong. Now, how many people listening to me tonight would want their daughter or their son or their granddaughter or their grandson having any kind of contact with a transgender person? Would you put them in the car, send them to McDonald's? Would you put them in the car, send them to the park? Would you put them into the car and send them to Baskin-Robbins? No. Not if you're in your right mind. Why? Because you know that is evil. And you would do that for the sake of that child. There's nothing more innocent than a child. I did a wedding yesterday. What's today? I did a wedding Saturday. And we left, and we got in the car, and I told my wife. I said, there was a man there. And I said, so help me God, he was a sodomite, and he had his nephew about 10, 11 years old. I said, I pray to God right now, he is not able to molest that little boy. I can see it. You see, that's what I'm talking about, the gift of discernment. You can see this stuff. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You can feel it in your spirit. I sat there and I was just rubbed wrong, and I'm a man, and I'd like to do some things to these perverts that wouldn't be right, I know. But I hate that because since they cannot procreate, they recruit. It's your sons and your daughters and your grandsons and your granddaughters and your nieces and your nephews they go after. You know, God help the Boy Scouts letting sodomites be masters and things in these institutions and these churches. God help these pastors and these church councilmen and these churches that will give their church to a sodomite group of men. What's wrong with us? You need to speak up and say, we don't do that because that's sin and it damns souls, whether you like it or not. You know, I was thinking the other day, you know, you never hear that term in the pulpit, you know, about the damned or being damned. But I got to thinking about some of the men in the Bible that talked about being damned. And that's a very hard and crass word. But Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. You know, that's not pretty preaching, folks. But I didn't say that. Jesus said that. But will you hear these men say that? 2 Thessalonians 2:11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, that's not pretty either, but I didn't say it. Paul the Apostle said that they would be damned. Why? Because they believe not in the truth. And then in 2 Peter 2:3, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Now watch this. This is how certain their damnation is. For if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, and to be reserved unto judgment, watch this, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Now, you're not going to hear that kind of preaching ever anymore. That day, that era is gone. Because that's too hard, that's too pointed. I'll get emails that will blow me out of the water tomorrow. But don't waste your time. And I'll have my wife read every one of them, and before she prints them, I'll have to read the garbage and the mess. But I'm giving you the word of the Lord. That's not David Lankford. That's not Steve Quayle. That's not Joe or Doug Hagman. That is thus saith the Lord. That's what needs to come back to the pulpit. Men lost without God will be damned. You say, well, that's just too hard. I thought God is a God of love. Go back and what did Jesus say? If you believe, you'll be saved. If you don't believe, you'll be damned. I didn't say that. I didn't make up the rules. And then he says to the perverts, he turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live in godly. He said, you live like Sodom and Gomorrah, you'll burn like Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, and he prefaces all of these, that conclusion there by saying, for if God spared not, and God spared not, if he didn't spare the angels, they turned into apostates, the fallen angels, they were apostates. Apostates. They knew there was a God, but they didn't acknowledge God. You know, Psalms 10:4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. You know, these Supreme Court justices and these circuit judges, federal judges, they don't acknowledge God in their thoughts. And you're right, Steve. We need to keep praying for this president. We are in one of the greatest elements of warfare. And I'm telling you, the devil wants a third world war. And we're watching all of this talk. Now they're telling us if North Korea has the technology that they're purported to have, an ICBM can hit New York City in 39 minutes from North Korea. Did I tell you, Steve, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I said, I got a gut feeling there's going to be a blitzkrieg. They're going to start hitting B-1 bombers, B-52 bombers, cruise missiles, and try to take the man out like a blitzkrieg and try to stop it. But this is coming, folks. You know, this is coming. Matthew 24:6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. This stuff is coming. You know why it's coming? The earth, the world is becoming so vile, so wicked, and so salacious, and so corrupt, and men are loving it. I mean, Steve, you said something a while ago. You said you're not as smart as they are. That's not true. You're smarter than they are. They're just so corrupt. Their vein is in corruption and sin and immorality, and we are seeking the kingdom of God. We desire Jesus. We want eternal life. We've got everything to gain if we just hold on to the cross of Christ. And they don't see that because they are blind, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. They can't see. And the only way they're going to be able to see is if Jesus removes the veil. It takes the Spirit of God. Why? Because, again, 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, whose the image of God should shine on them. If God doesn't do it, it won't happen. Those of us who have been redeemed, you ought to thank God every day you're saved.
You say, well,
you know, Pastor, I'm having all sorts of problems physically, my children, my job, my husband, my wife. Hey, all this is temporal. Hear me out. All of this is temporal. You ought to thank God every day. Thank you, Jesus, I'm washed in the blood. If an ICBM hits my city, hits my state, I'm going to go because I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. It doesn't matter. See? And so what God wants us to do is to be His vessels of honor that are sanctified and meet for His use. You know, God won't use just anybody. Now, there's so many charlatans out there, and I hear this and I see this, but 2 Timothy 2:21 says, if a man therefore shall purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified, set apart for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. God's got so much He wants to do, but He can't find the vessels. He can't find the people. I look at these mega churches, you know, mega churches, and that means many people's flocking in. But I read it again just this past week, 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, where that be of God, for many false prophets are gone out into the world. Peter, he said the same thing. You're going to see many false teachers, many false prophets, see? And they're going to bring in, listen to this, there's that word again, who probably shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them. Now, they're not standing up there and say that Jesus is not the Lord. That's exactly what they're saying. They're using the power of His name to get into your pocketbook, to get into your head, to get into your mind. But at the end of the day, they don't serve God. They serve their belly. But Peter said they're going to bring in damnable heresies, as Steve was mimicking and mocking them. Send me $777 and God will send you $70,777, whatever. That's not the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they've secularized the gospel. And here's the key to it. I'm going to give it back to Steve. 1 Corinthians 2:4. Paul said, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. When you walk into a Holy Ghost Spirit-filled service, there will be a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That is what's lacking in our churches, in our conferences. You know, my wife and I are fasting and we're praying, and I know Steve is, and some of the other people are, but we're pleading with God to blanket that place with His presence in Branson. We're sold out. Steve said we're sold out. There's no room for anyone else except to view it online. But I'm pleading with God for a supernatural visitation. And I want you to pray for Steve and I, because if God does what I feel like He's going to do, this will be the beginning of many. Because I believe in the midst of all of this trouble, you're going to see revival where people want it. Those who want it are going to have it, because God said in Acts 2:17, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. God is going to pour out of his own spirit. God has a personal spirit. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God himself, I'm not talking about the Holy Ghost, I don't want to confuse you, but out of God's spirit, he put this in my heart 2 years ago, he would pour out of his own personal spirit on all flesh. Now, that's up to you or I whether or not we want to receive it. I don't have to receive it, but let me tell you, Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. God will give everyone divine supplement and sustenance if they seek him. God will not withhold any good thing. Psalms 84:10, the Lord God is a sun and shield. He will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, is a good thing. The blessings of God are good things. He said, I won't withhold them, but you have to walk uprightly, he said. And the next verse there, David said, a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I'd rather fellowship with God's people who were broke, busted, didn't have anything but had Jesus, than to sit in all the opulent castles of the world with all the finery, all the opulence. That's going to perish, folks. I'm going, and there's a city coming when there's a new heaven and a new earth. There's a new city called the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. And the city has no need for the light, because Jesus Christ is the light and the glory thereof. Can't imagine a place like that. The doors are never locked. The doors are never shut. The gates are always open. No thief, no robber, no whoremonger, no one of that nature can get into what God's going to prepare for them that love him. We got to think about the eternal things. And right now, the secular church has got your eyes horizontal. Cars, boats, money. Hey, that's all going to pass away. We're going to have a new heaven, a new earth, and last but not least, we're going to have a new body. And I know some of us, we could use that old body right now. This old body is deteriorating. But that's the blessing of the redeemed. The world, the sinner, God's not going to give them a new body. Only those who've been washed in the blood. And I believe God showed me this many years ago. If you have Parkinson's disease, you have Alzheimer's, you have cancer, you have diabetes, whatever, if you're not redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, you will have that in all eternity if you're lost without God. Those same feelings of that diseased body, that's the diseased part of a man, is his soul anyway. It's diseased with sin. And that's part of the curse of sin. I believe those who don't get a redeemed body will have that for all eternity. What a torment in itself to be like that. But that's the promise. You don't hear preachers preaching about the blessings, the rewards of the Lord, because that's not what they're into. They're into money, they're into numbers, and God wants us to come back to the cross. But I do want to say this, and I'm going to give it back to you, Steve. We need to be very diligent right now. There's something coming down the pike, whether it's North Korea or a Middle East war, but believe you me, Satan is going to foment something that'll be make 9/11 look like a cakewalk, a picnic. I'm telling you, God's wrath, he's getting more and more furious with what's going on. But if those who do right, God will stand by you, protect you, and watch you. I believe that. But those who are in between, indifferent, lukewarm, tepid, are going to suffer just as the wicked suffer when God begins to mete out judgment. I'm going to give it back to you, Steve.
Well, I want to, before I bring you up to speed on what David was talking about, North Korean blitzkrieg, I want to go have everyone start meditating on this scripture, because it applies to you, and I'll put it in the context of the 139th Psalm. But as it is written, 1 Corinthians 2:9, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the thing which God hath prepared for them that love him. I was contemplating, the thoughts that God has towards us. And obviously in the 139th Psalm, he says, more numerous than the sand of the sea are his thoughts. And obviously it dawned on me that it's eternal. I mean, there's nothing that God can't purpose in his heart for his people than all the sand and the sea. So I started doing the calculations. Actually, you can look it up yourself. There's approximately 400,000 grains of normal beach sand in a handful. They even go into the cubic, metric measurement of a sand grain, etc. And it blew my mind, Pastor Joe. It blew my mind. Most of us sometimes can't find like three or four things that we like about ourselves. Yet our Savior, our Redeemer, the Colossians 1:16-17 says that Jesus, by Him and in Him, do all things consist, okay, exist, and they consist because we're held together by the sheer Word of God. Quantum physics is going to come to the conclusion that the God particle is very much the Word of God, the spoken Word of God. Sounds precedes light. I understand that. But when I read this, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That's a wow. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, atheists, agnostics, unbelievers, haters of God, those who will come into the kingdom through the worst series of events in the history of the world, listen to this. You can't get away from the statement that God loves you so much that he will honor your free will to accept or reject. David, I've been on talk radio now for a long time, and quarter of a century, and I'm 66. By the way, I'm not saying this for anybody's birthday greeting, but I turn 66 next week. Well, to say I've aged gracefully, lie. To say I enjoy aging, lie. The point is, though, is I can't fight it, but I will say this. I have purposed in my heart to win, to share, to encourage, to empower, to be as much of a blessing as can. I want to set the record straight. In all the 9,000-10,000 hours, I have never claimed to be a prophet, nor do I now. The only thing I claim is Jesus called me face to face. He told me if I would warn his people, he would bring the people that know what's going on to tell me what's going on, and I could warn his people. That is what I have done for pretty much a quarter of a century. Amongst the scorn, the ridicule, the absolute character assassination. Now, I'm not crying in my beer, root beer. The point is, I'm just saying this, that God has been faithful. What's going to happen in the coming days is going to try the hearts of men. All you Christians that hated Donald Trump, all you that spoke out, you want to be prophets, you claimants, you though that damned me and damned whoever stood for Donald Trump as being racists and bigots and haters and blah, blah, blah. I see pictures of him in the White House with men of God laying on their hands on him. And I'll tell you this, I will not identify it, but somebody who walks in those circles spoke to me and said, Donald Trump knows exactly that his life will be spared as long as he's obedient. And he is listening to godly counsel. I don't think anybody, and David, you know the flack you and I got when we said God gave us a reprieve? You know? God gave us a reprieve and a timeout, yet that doesn't stop the war. I believe it will be a blitzkrieg, and I want to read something. There are certain people that I trust over the years that have a batting average of, basically they have no strikeouts, and I don't know much about sports, but I know, the idea is to hit homers and not strike out. I asked him, I said, and I won't mention his name, brother, here's what I said. Can you tell me what your thoughts would be if Russia withdraws its embassy staff and where you think the Korean situation will lead in the next 30 days? If you want to go on drudge right at this minute, okay? David, we're pleading for people to come to Jesus tonight. We're telling people they need to make it right with Jesus tonight. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. Now, here's what he responded to me. This is in the last 24 hours. Whether you want to believe it or not, do what I've told you to do for 25 years. Take it to the Lord in prayer and ask him, Lord, is Steve speaking by his own spirit, out of his imagination, or did you tell him this through a servant? The hot tango dance is coming, most probably before the season of the ice. Things are in progress for the event. That means before winter. There will be no forewarnings. Folks should be in prayer and get right with Jesus. If folks want to laugh, then they will suffer the consequences of their evil. No one knows the time. It will be just as a thief in the night. Far too many treasonous leakers abound, so time will not be announced. Too much at stake for sure. The Norks, that's the North Koreans, are suicidal, so they could go at any time. We are surrounded by the forces of four nations with their influx already waiting upon us, waiting for the go. Russia and China will do mop-up if all goes down. Iran and Venezuela among the Norks. Now, and the North Koreans are the proxies. Putin knows full well the prophecies. He has asked about it and knows the evil that is present. Our nation laughs and turns its back on God. Thus he shall be as Akita. Fire will fall. Fire will fall from the sky, and two-thirds of mankind will be destroyed in what is to come. Russia will be the instrument of chastisement. We should have taken care of the Norks long ago when we had the chance. Now we will suffer from allowing evil to persist and electing evil to be in control for so long. Those of evil are trying to remove that which is good. Our president tries to do that which is right. Two, to bring repentance, but evil only desires chaos and death. Russia wants nothing of the New World Order. Understands the evil that is, and is told in the Holy Bible will come to pass. Woe unto them who scorn. May the Lord Jesus have mercy on those of us who love him. Now, again, you know, David, some people will take that. Some people will say, it's just somebody that doesn't know what they're talking about. I will only say this. This brother has been, and when I say 100%, he's never named the time. It was my 30 days. He's not saying it will be in 30 days. But even tonight on the front of Drudge, it says the 70 subs, North Korean subs, are out. It says they're so close to Japan. The question people need to ask is what will be the response, or what will be the event that triggers the response? And again, the idea simply is this, is that I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I'm grateful that God holds all my tomorrows. He holds my futures. He's forgiven my past. And as you were told by the Lord, forget the past, embrace the present, and trust God with the future. Is that pretty accurate?
That's dead on it.
It's dead on it. So the thing that we're asking you, ladies and gentlemen, look. A true heart of repentance says this, and look, it's this, Lord, I'm a mess. I'm a sinner. I'm living in sin, or I'm active in sin. I'm stoned out of my mind, Jesus. I'm shacking up. I gotta say it carefully now. Lord, I'm involved in so many sexual relationships that Johnny Appleseed would be embarrassed. But God, forgive me. Forgive me. And I want to turn from my wicked ways. And Lord, there's a powerful word, and it's called help. Help me, Jesus. And I know, David, from my Bible that Jesus said, all who call upon him will he in no wise cast aside. David, if this were the last night that you and I had on the air together, and I'm not using that as an evangelical, you know, thing to get them to believe in the catch away, you know, and already you know this, the people are saying, August 21st is a rapture, September 21st to the 23rd is a rapture. How many times they have to be wrong before they admit that maybe they're looking for an event that will not happen, at least in their lifetime? And I want to make it clear, I believe in the pre-wrath rapture of the church. We go to meet with Jesus. But the idea that somehow, you know, we all escape this living like hell, putting up with hell, never speaking up against it, never standing up for God, you know, it's like this, multitudes in the valley decision, for the day of the Lord is at hand. I understand the literal day of the Lord at the end of the tribulation, when God basically moves, and as he is the King of glory and the creator of all heaven and earth, he moves in one day. He doesn't need 3.5 years of hell, which there will be, but the point is that God moves. But until that time, people need to get right. They need to stand up. They need to rise up. They need to speak up, and by the grace of God, never be ashamed of Jesus. Never be ashamed. And those of you that want to fight over the name of Jesus being Zeus, you're wrong. You're so wrong. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. You know, the point is that we're in the time period where more people will spend time attacking whether God should be called Yahweh or Yahweh or, you know, all the different derivations than live right. And repent and go out and win people for Jesus Christ. I don't care if you're Jewish, you want to call him Yeshua, you can call him Yeshua. But I'm not a Jew. I don't have anything against anybody who is. I'm just saying this, that Jesus is his name, and I understand the Greek name. I understand how it's spelled, but never, never, ever, ever was it ever associated with Zeus. And since I write on comparative mythology and have studied this for 25 years, probably more like 35 before I started really writing and stuff. The point being is that it's nowhere to be found. It is an attack. It is an assault on the Lord Jesus Christ by the one who hates him the most. And I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't Paul say that? Romans what? 1:16? For it's the power of God unto salvation to the Jews first and then the Gentiles? Is it, did I quote that correctly, David?
That's right. You sure did.
So the thing that I'm stating is this. People, you need a touch in your life. I do not like to do, what are these things called? Conferences, okay? This thing came together in record time. It wasn't designed to take away from anybody else's conferences or saying anything that we do is better than that. That's not it. But I remember, I called David and I said, David, I was up praying and the Lord rebuked me. And these were his words. I never called you to walk in another man's ministry. I called you to walk in that which I have laid out before you. Is that accurate?
Amen.
And since the time that Pastor David Lankford and I were first brought together on talk radio, it was something God did. And it was something God did. He took two absolute renegade rascals out of control. I'll leave it at this. And our paths are so similar. Our backgrounds are so similar. But our point of redemption is similar. We came in supernaturally through the kingdom by the grace of God. We don't have to be what we were then. And look, you know, I have a lot of, I grant a lot of people grace because I've never lost track by the grace of God of what he redeemed me from. But I got no time for religious people. I've got no time for people wanting to argue with me. Get your own radio show. Go out and pay the price. Go out and do what you wouldn't do, or go out and try and, you know, talk. And this is something else. Those of you who refer to God in the sky as a big guy in the sky, I want to tell you this, that's sacrilegious. He's not the big guy in the sky. He is not a man that he should lie. Or, you know, all the other colloquialisms. His name, if you are a Christian, his name is Jesus Christ. You can argue. If you're a whatever you want to be and call him Yeshua, fine. But then be as bold for Yeshua as those who have laid down their lives. Because when the book of Hebrews, and then I'm going to let you have it, David, for as long as you want it. When the book of Hebrews says that seeing that we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that we're martyrs, let us run the race. I can't but weep when I see the poor animals are being sodomized. That in the most sophisticated, supposedly knowledgeable lands, Europe and all over the world, that the poor animals are being raped. They're being raped, you guys. That's bestiality. And in the Word of God in the Old Testament, God put the animal and said the animal and the man who lieth with the beast must be put to death. It wasn't because God, it was revulsion in him, but he knew what had gone on before in the hybridization of combining human and animal DNA. And if you don't get it, when you read Drudge, when you read all the different stories about chimeras, the combination of DNA from animals and humans and Jesus' word, there'll be no flesh left alive. The sexual perversion of raping these harmless animals to the point of such grossness, I'll stop there. And you don't cry and you don't weep, then I got to tell you something. You better get a heart check really quick because you can't live apart from it. It permeates the world and you need to pray. You need to cover yourself with the blood of Jesus. You need to take dominion for your family's sake. And in my case, I'll speak to me too. I got to live right. I got to think right. I got to speak right. I'm working on that one. And the deal is, I'm still looking to Jesus, who's the author and finisher of my faith. 25 years on talk radio. I started out on talk radio speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The guy who put me on the radio, Don Wiedemann, at KHNC, I don't know if he's alive or whatever, I bear him no ill will, but he told me I had to quit talking about Jesus. Those of you who remember those days, I said, the day that happens, Pastor, you've probably heard that, I said, I'm off. The day he told me I couldn't speak about Jesus was in one day I was off. So the point is, God has raised us up to uplift his glorious Son. And when I tell people, look, what can I tell them now? What should I tell them? People say, well, tell us what you really know. What have you done with what you've been told? See, again, Jesus said, if I've told you earthly things and you believe me not, how can I tell you heavenly things? And you'd be surprised, and I won't name names because that's just not what I'm about, of the people who are in ministry, that they'll acknowledge this stuff that we're talking about. But look, they don't want to hear Pastor Langford talking about sin. They don't want to hear me talking about the cover-up or cover-over of history. They want their readership, but more than that, or their listenership, but more than that, they want their money. You know, we want your happiness in eternity. Go ahead, Pastor. And David, thanks for coming on tonight. And I'm not leaving. I mean, you know, if you can go for the 15-minute stake, and I'm here for the duration, brother. But, Joe, thank you for having us on tonight. But, you know, finish it out, David. People need to register for live streaming for Branson. I promise you, and I'll make this based on the Word of God. I know the people praying. I know the people interceding. I know they're calling on God. I know the weeping that's going on before the throne of Almighty God, that you, those who will come, that you, those who will listen, that you, those who will hear, that even the DVDs will be anointed. And from all over the world, please, ladies and gentlemen, if you live in the corner of some country and you're basically, you need to feast in the presence of the living God, please tune in to the live streaming. It costs a lot of money to set it up, and I don't know, you know, how many people we can live stream right now, but please, we'll do whatever's necessary. So by the way, Thursday, I will be on Hagman & Hagman. We'll be on Hagman & Hagman. Primarily, I will be interviewing each one of the speakers for the next Thursday, and all the Thursdays until I think the first week in September. So we're looking forward to those who have stood with us, who will be at Branson in person, those of you who have stood with us who are going to be streaming, because God isn't bound by TV sets, and I promise you, more than lay your hand on the TV and then take your wallet out and put it on the TV. I always wanted to say this. If I ever had a chance, take your gun and shoot the TV. Maybe that's the best way to deal. Go ahead, David.
No, I'm totally succinct with you there, Steve. This is all about people's eternal souls. This conference, which I hope is just the beginning of a great milestone, where we can assemble together and the power of God to be made manifest. There's so much falsehood out there. One of the things you said a while ago, Steve, made me think. Those who argue about the name of Jesus or Jehovah, there's two things about these people. Number one, they don't have the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Number two, they've never cast out a devil in their lives. You know, I've had many encounters with demon-possessed people. It's ugly, but I've never used any other name but Jesus. I've never used Yahshua, and I understand that's Hebrew. I understand that. Joshua, Yahshua. But my point is, Jesus is where the power is. Matthew 1:21, she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. You see, there again, it's about him redeeming the sinner, him bringing back the sinner, him reclaiming the backslider, those who have drifted, those who have wandered, those who have wafted away. That's who God is. Extends his hands to. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, again, you don't hear that said on television or radio anymore, that all should come to repentance. Why? Well, they don't have to repent. They're good people. And there's just no need for that. That's not true. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I want to say this. I had a gentleman call me today, this morning. It reminded me of something I said some weeks ago on one of my radio programs. It is a terrible thing to fall, but it's a far worse thing to stay there. there's not any of us that have not missed the mark. If you didn't hear my radio program today, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. Having failed God, what do I do? Everyone listening tonight, in some capacity, some way, some shape, some form, some fashion, we have failed God. You say, well, I've not failed God. Well, if you're not praying, you're not reading your Bible, you're not witnessing, you're not tithing, or you've sinned, you've done this, you've done that, you took a drink of liquor, you smoked dope, you snorted a line of cocaine, you've sinned. You've grieved the Spirit of God. Steve shared with you from 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that you're the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth within you. If any man defile the temple, him will God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. God does not live in brick and mortar buildings. The Branson and the mansion in Branson Theater had everything in the world there. Become September the 15th, 16th, and 17th, it's going to be a sanctuary for God because of the people that will be there, not the building. Steve's bringing the Holy Ghost with him. I'm bringing the Holy Ghost with me. My wife is. My brother, one of the ladies I pastored for many years, helping us. We're going to be doing the music, good music, not just any kind of music, but good Spirit-filled music. We're going to be there, and we've got God with us. And I'm pleading. I'm interceding. We're all interceding. God, just show up. Whatever he does, folks, is going to be unbelievable. And it doesn't matter how God moves. I want to be so sensitive and so led by the Spirit, because that's so important, is to be led. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're called the sons of God. Whatever God wants is what I want. We're going to have communion. I think there's a few children to maybe be dedicated, but we're going to be doing our part. But everyone has to do their part. But I want to say this. I know we're getting down to the closure of the program. It's never too late to turn to Christ when you feel Christ knocking at your door, when you're feeling that convicting presence as he broods over your conscience. And you feel the way you're living and what you're doing. You know in your heart, you know in your spirit it is wrong. And I hear so many people say, I'm weak. Listen, we're all weak. We are all weak. My wife and I were talking, I believe it was last night. You know, when I turned to Christ on June the 6th, 1978, I had such a made-up mind. I was so determined. And all I did after I got saved was pray and fast and read my Bible and memorize Bible verses. That's all I did. Why? I wanted to make it. I wanted to be able to endure. Matthew 24:13, but they that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. 95% of the battle is making up your mind. Just being determined, being disciplined, I'm going to finish the course. I'm not going to quit. Yes, Satan will do everything he can to distract you. He will cause a storm and a tempest for some of you tomorrow that you just cannot believe. You're going to get up in the morning, and all of a sudden, it's just like a tank, a bulldozer, tries to run you over with adversity. But here's what he said in Proverbs 24:10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. You can't faint. You can't quit. You can't give up, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. We're not just serving some whimsical God. We serve a God that says, I'm the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? So I want you tonight to cast your care. I'm going to pray real quickly. I want you to cast your care. 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You say nobody cares. Yes, there's somebody who cares, and the one who cares the most can do the most for you. That's Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, your only begotten Son, I ask you to touch every heart. I ask you to touch every life. I ask you to touch every listener right now, Lord, whether it's YouTube or audio, video. I ask you in the name of Jesus to touch their hearts right now, Father, that they will know there is a God in heaven. Lord, we're not here to trouble the people, but we're here to uplift the people, to strengthen the hands of your people, to let them know that there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. Oh, God, we're trying to tell them the truth because the way is straight and the way is narrow, and few there be that find it. God, let the Hagman audience be those that find the way, the truth, and the life, I pray, Father. And God, I just ask you to touch their ministry, their outreach, the Hagmans. I ask you to touch the meeting in Branson. You will touch every speaker, that the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the anointing of God, will seal this meeting, O God, and that you will manifest your power in the manner and the way that we, the people, need it. Don't give us what we want, Lord, but give us what we need. Give us what we need for this hour. And Father, I'll give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor, Lord, for it's in the beloved name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we humbly pray. Amen. Joe, I'm going to give it to your Steve.
Well, you guys have taken us to the very end of the program, and it was a fantastic 2 hours. And just again, Steve, as you said, I think for this, starting this Thursday, for the next 5 Thursdays, you are going to be joining us with each of the speakers individually coming on, and we're really looking forward to that. I know, Steve, you remember, and Pastor, you remember, we used to do series of shows like this where we do, you know, 5 Thursdays or 5 Sundays in a row, very spiritually uplifting shows, and that had a huge impact on our audience. And to be able to do this again on the run-up to the Branson Conference. And folks, as Steve said, the conference is sold out, but the live stream is still available. And for folks who have not been able to get their tickets in time or had other money or travel restraints, take advantage of the live streaming, because, you know, if you're going to do DVDs, Steve, I know it's going to take, you know, a long time to get those DVDs prepared and out. And the live streaming is your chance to basically be there, but still be in the confines of your own home comfortably. And it will give you access to all the speakers and seeing everything that's going on there live in Branson. So, folks, make sure you sign up for that. Pastor Lankford, thank you so much for joining us. And you're going to be on Wednesday on your normal time also. Is that correct?
I suppose I will be.
All right. Well, we look forward to it. And God bless you both. And thank you so much for joining us tonight. It was a fantastic show.
Good night. Thank you, Joe, night. And bless you.
Thank you. Everyone, be have a wonderful week. What's left of it. Bye-bye.
Amen. Thanks, Pastor Lankford, and thank you, Steve Quayle. Well, folks, that will do it for us tonight. Real quick, just want to let people know who maybe don't know yet. We have 2 new shows that we do each weekday. The Doug Hagman Show, which airs 9 to 10 a.m. on Blog Talk Radio, as well as on Global Star Radio Network Channel 3. You can download those archives everywhere that podcast archives are available. And then John and I do a show, the Hagman Daily Show, from 2 to 3 p.m. each day. And today was our kicking off the second week. And, you know, we're getting some audience and some followers. We'd like to know what you think. If you have feedback, send it to studio@hagmanandhagman.com. But we're having a lot of fun doing the secondary shows, and we want to know how people like them, and if they have any criticisms or concerns, you can send us those emails as well. Again, that'll do it for us tonight. Until tomorrow, stay safe. God bless. Have a great evening.